Listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and Dave Ansell. And we're also live in Second Life every Sunday. That's 6 o'clock here in Britain. But also in Second Life, times are different. So it's 10 o'clock in the morning, Second Life time. And if you want to find us in Second Life, we are in the Cylands continent. So you go into Second Life and you look up Cylands and then you look up Naked Scientists and you see our mansion there. And you can find all the other people who are gathered listening to The Naked Scientists. Hello to all of you. And if you want to talk to them and meet them, you can do that because there's lots of people in there all chatting about what's going on the show, so it's great to have them with us. Now, James Logan, who you just heard in the piece with Ben, is actually here with us in the studio, and he's also here together with Tony Hooper, who's one of his colleagues. They're both at Rothamsted Research. Tony's working on ways to use plants to repel pests away from crops, and that also actually includes repelling pest weeds, which would be ideal in my garden, but he's coming on in a second to talk about that. But first, James, let's talk about your work on mosquitoes. I guess it sounds a bit flippant talking about mosquito bites, but in the grand scheme of things, mosquitoes are probably the world's dangerous animal, aren't they?
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, it's not actually the mosquitoes that cause the problem. Of course, they bite and people can react differently to their bites and you can have quite a severe allergic reaction to the bites. But it's actually the pathogens that they carry, the diseases they carry, such as malaria and dengue fever, filariasis. There's a whole number of diseases that they carry. And of course, those are the diseases that cause the problem.
Something like 300 million cases of malaria every year.
That's right. I think
3 million deaths. It's huge numbers.
Exactly. Almost 2 million people die every year. Yeah,
so understanding what lures them towards us is therefore absolutely crucial in trying to tackle that problem head on, because we know that just spraying them doesn't work.
Absolutely, yeah. The more we understand about how they find us in the first place, then the better we can develop control methods to stop that from happening.
Those few hundred chemicals that you were telling Ben ooze out of our skin and that the mosquitoes are sensitive, at least to some of, what actually are those chemicals and what are they doing?
Well, there's a whole range of chemicals that they respond to. They respond to the main chemical they respond to is carbon dioxide, which is mainly given off by our breath, but also is released through our body as well. But other types of chemicals, such as 1-octanethriol, which is also given off, it's an alcohol, it's given off in our breath, and certain acids as well, which are found in quite high amounts on your feet. And these types of chemicals are very attractive to mosquitoes. Ammonia is another one as well.
What are they? Are they just naturally produced by cells in the skin and the mosquitoes have learned that this equals lunch and so they home in on them?
Absolutely, yeah. They're definitely, some chemicals are released through the skin. Other chemicals are actually produced by the bacteria on the skin. So bacteria do play a very big role and they sort of convert the chemicals into more volatile chemicals that the mosquitoes find attractive.
How do you actually do the research where you take a person and then look at what's coming out of them to work out how they're attractive, whether they're attractive or not, and also then what those chemicals are that are doing that?
Well, we use quite a bizarre technique. We place people inside large silver bags, big thermal survival bags that are commonly used for mountaineering. And they lie in there for 2 hours and we extract their body odours from the bag.
And could be bad.
and we trap the chemicals onto a filter and strip the chemicals off the filter, which then gives us a liquid extract that we can then analyse. And we have all sorts of weird techniques whereby we can actually look at the response of the receptors on the antenna of the mosquito, which is its nose, to detect which chemicals that the mosquito actually responds to in this very complex mixture.
Ah, and so the chemicals that mosquitoes respond to, are they only attracted to us? Or because some of the people in the kitchen science with Ben were not attractive. You were very attractive, he wasn't very attractive. So is it that he's just got less of these chemicals or is he making something else that's in fact making the mosquitoes go away?
Yeah, well, it might be quite logical to assume that if you weren't attractive to mosquitoes, then you just simply lacked the attractive chemicals. But of course, we all breathe, so we all produce carbon dioxide and these other very attractive chemicals. And there is something special about people who seemingly never get bitten. And what we found is that those people are producing certain chemicals in much higher concentrations. And when tested, those chemicals have a repellent effect. So it's almost as if your body's got a sort of natural defence system against these insects.
And if you test people who live in areas where there are more mosquitoes that spread diseases, I'm thinking of places like Africa where malaria is endemic and other diseases like that, do you find that the population naturally make more of these chemicals?
That's a really good question, and you probably would expect that in a place such as Africa where the selection pressure would be quite high. At the moment, we don't actually know. There was a study that was done fairly recently that showed that 20% of a population in a township were most susceptible to contracting malaria, and the other 80% seemed to be fairly protected. And the authors suggested that that could be to do with those people producing repellent chemicals. But nobody actually knows. We haven't done a big enough study, really, to be able to tell that.
There was a paper, I think it was published in PLOS a couple of years ago, which was very interesting because they took children from the local school that had malaria and they put them at one end of a piece of apparatus, and they had children who were malaria free and put them at the other end of the apparatus, and then they put some mosquitoes in the middle and counted where the mosquitoes went. And when the child was highly infectious for malaria, all the mosquitoes flocked towards the malaria ridden child. And then when they repeated the experiment with mosquitoes that were themselves malaria positive, they avoided the child with malaria and went to the people that didn't have malaria. So how are they doing that?
Yeah, that again, that was a really interesting study. And what they showed was that it wasn't to do with things like body temperature and things like that. We know that mosquitoes are attracted to heat and to moisture. And of course, when you have malaria, you do get a fever. And so you're very hot. And some people might think that's the reason. But these scientists actually showed that it was all to do with body odours. So your body odour was changing, basically. And at the point at which the malaria parasite was most transmissible between the human and the mosquito was the point at which they were most attractive, which is quite incredible.